You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hi, I'm Nicole, and I have a very special guest on today. Hey, Kendra.
Hi, Nicole.
So, it's 24 hours of student power, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And Kendra and I are, like, besties, and we're just going to talk like we normally do, but this time on air, and I'm super stoked about it. We did do some precursory thinking on what we're going to talk about, and the theme is Great Expectations, not the book. But kind of the expectations that we've put on ourselves and the expectations that we're kind of figuring out, oh my gosh, I've put all these expectations on myself and I didn't even realize that. And now I'm dealing with the repercussions.
Yeah.
For sure. So Kendra, you are a third year anthropology and archaeology student.
Yeah.
And I am Nicole and I am a third year arts major because I haven't quite figured out exactly what I'm gonna do yet, but I have a feeling I'm gonna end up in philosophy, and I think that's a good segue into our kind of like first conversation topic. I had a lot of expectations on what I was gonna go into in university. I was like, I'm gonna do psych and then I'm gonna finish my degree and then I'm gonna become a lawyer.
Yeah.
And then I started psych and I hated it. Really did not enjoy psych at UBC. It was not my vibe. So then I switched into music, and I was like, okay, yeah, adjust my expectations. I'm going to become a music theorist and become a professor. And then I did music theory for a year and a half and was like, I cannot do this for the rest of my life. And then I was like, okay, well, I gotta do something. So then I was dabbling in the idea of English, and I've been doing it for a semester, and I don't hate it. But I don't love it. For, I and now I'm like, I kind of want to do philosophy. And basically what I'm saying is that my degree is a mess.
Yeah. I mean, I came in first year and I was so set that I was going to do law, and all the programs I had applied for university were law-based programs. So I came in and I was like, international relations, that's for me. I did my first semester and I realized all the courses I was taking, I couldn't stand. So, you know, I did a real 180 there going into anthropology, and honestly, even as an anthro major, I'm mostly here for the archaeology.
Why did you choose anthropology? I actually never asked you that.
I took a class with Camilla Speller, who, name drop, she's the best archaeology professor at UBC, I think, and it just, like, showed me a whole world of archaeology that I didn't really understand.
Which class was it?
I took 103.
Which one is that one?
So it's quite similar to 140 as well, and they're both kind of just introduction to archaeology. So you're talking about, like, human evolution and ways that you approach sites, and I learned that you could use, like, biomolecular techniques and all these things where, like, I'd only really imagined it as this Indiana Jones, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider type discipline, which also now after classes and taking 2 years of this, I'm like, that's so, like, extractive and terrible. But her class showed me that you can do so much different research with it.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought you met Dr. Speller later on. For some reason, it didn't click in my head that you may have had a class with her earlier, and that's why you decided to go into anthropology.
It was an online lecture, so I, like, never actually really met her until I started volunteering for the department, but, yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing. Online school. So Kendra and I, both in third year, graduated high school in 2020, and we all know that's when the great pandemic began. So, like, our expectations of university were not what we expected. Do you feel like doing online school for the first bit contributed to you deciding to not go into law school?
No, and honestly, I still might, like, after my undergrad do a law thing, but if I do, it'll be focused on, like, repatriation or something like that. But it definitely, because there wasn't as much support, and I was taking economics, which is, if you've ever taken Econ 101, Shout out to you. That course really killed me. It's dragging down my GPA single-handedly. But that like, not having as ready supports as in person definitely, like, pushed me to explore other options.
Yeah. I feel like when I thought about our theme today, Great Expectations, I thought about something my singing teacher said to me once when I was, like, well, my singing teacher, Mr. Kevin Zakreski, it's another name drop right there. He's the best. He now teaches at CAPU. He is their choir director. And he's, like, kind of a bit of a life coach for me now. I remember he was like, it's the kids that go into music programs and are like, I'm going to be first chair flute, and then I'm going to go play in the Boston Philharmonic as first chair. And I'm going to live in a, like, 400-square-foot apartment with, like, 3 sausage dogs are the ones that are the most severely disappointed by life is when they, like, really narrow in their expectations and they're like, okay, this is what my life is going to be. And when life inevitably throws whatever it has at you and is like, haha, surprise, they're the ones that are most disappointed. And I think I learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
I think I, like, and Kendra and I are both former UBC varsity athletes. I, like, had a very specific vision. I was going to be a varsity athlete. I was going to go to nationals. I was going to go to law school. And, like, that, when that started to unravel, I also felt myself unravel.
And I find even like, earlier on when it isn't unraveling, like,
yeah.
I set all these boxes for myself in high school that I wanted to take off. Like, it started, yeah. like, okay, I'm a late entry to point work. I want to do ballet. I want to get point shoes really fast. And I did. And then I realized I didn't even like doing it. I just wanted, like, the check mark of having accomplished that. Went into rowing. Was like, okay, I'll make a performance team.
Yeah.
Went with Queens, and I trained with them and some other junior athletes. And I was like, okay, great, cool, tick that box.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite happy yet. If I make UBC rowing, like, best rowing program in Canada, then I'll be happy. And the thing is, like, even if everything's working out perfectly, like, it's so unsatisfying.
It really is. It's like, and everyone is like, this is also so weird, because whenever Kendra and I talk, it's never, like, with eye contact, and we're in the studio right now making eye contact, and it's, like, deeply unsettling. But that's just a side note. I like, hear all these things growing up when you're young, and you're like, everyone's like, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And I'm like, yeah, shut up. But now that I'm the ripe age of 19, and I'm so wise and old, I'm like, they're kind of right. It's not about the check marks and the check boxes and all the pretty to-do lists. It's about, like, the things that you've learned along the way and what the failures have taught you.
Yeah, and it's also difficult to sit down sometimes, you know, you're thinking about your failures, you're thinking about your successes, and even, like, getting to the points where you want to be, like, you know, I got to a point where I was able to do lab work in a really, like, small class.
Yeah, this girl does a lot of lab work. This girl is smart.
Well, it was a lot of time to get to a point where I was even being, like, trusted in the lab and being able to do this and do a course like this with this professor, and I got there, and now I find myself sitting down as I'm writing this research paper, and I'm like, ugh, this is the worst. Like, this is so hard. I just want to be done. And it's hard to remember to take a step back and be like, no, like, you worked really hard for this.
Yeah.
This is a really good opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But you get so caught up in the immediate now that that's really hard to think about.
Yeah, it's all about that, like, short-term relief versus, like, long-term consequences, kind of, like, it's backwards. My point is not really making sense, but I get what you mean. It's, like, I've worked so hard to come here, and this is just, like, one of the bumps that you kind of have to inevitably go through to get to, like, where you really want to be.
Yeah.
And that, really just drawing parallels to our mutual experience in varsity sport, where do you draw the line between this is just part of the suffering that you have to go through and this is unnecessary?
And yeah, that's a hard question, too, because
I think we're both still figuring that out.
It's still quite fresh leaving the team, and it is something that you build up so highly for yourself, and you assume that, well, this is what varsity athletics is supposed to be based on whatever team you're engaged in. Like, you just assume that that's the norm, too. So there's some things where you're like, well, that really sucked, and I don't feel like I was treated fairly, but, you know, that's life. That's varsity athletics, and it's not quite that, and I don't think I even understood that sport didn't need to be that way until doing, like, a peer it was an injury recovery group that they did, the Thunderbird, what's it called? It's a recovering athlete peer support program. If anyone's in athletics and wants to get involved, it's a great program. But talking with some peers then in other teams and realizing, like, okay, maybe this isn't even what I want in a team anymore.
Yeah. I think being able to take a step back and breathe is a really important component in that specific scenario when we were both leaving athletics, but also just, like, life.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for varsity athletics, for me, taking a step back was really necessary, like, completely removing myself from that atmosphere to, like, gain some clearer perspective on, like, what was actually happening and, like, what I wanted and what I was enjoying and what I really wanted to do. But in terms of, like, life in school, it's been really hard for me to, like, remove that stress of feeling like I need to decide a major, I need to be good at that major, and I need to complete that major to get to the next step. It's been so hard for me to, like, separate myself, because my life kind of is school, for as it is for most university students, to, like, take a step back and be like, what do I actually want? And does it actually matter?
And it's also hard in university when you're surrounded by peers that are so, some of them are so set in what they're doing and confident in it.
I'm so jealous of everyone that's so certain. But, like, at the same time, I'm like, how certain are you really?
Oh, and it's overwhelming, too, when you hear them talking about it, and then you get sucked into it a little bit. You're like, yeah, well, I mean, my peers are wanting this, and they're doing the same thing, so I should want this, too. And so I find myself even, like, planning a PhD, and I'm not even, like, technically in third year standing yet.
Yeah.
And I think about myself then as a high school student.
Yeah.
And I think about myself in the same, like, year lineup kind of placement.
Yeah.
Where I'm in grade 10, and I was thinking about my goals.
Oh my gosh,
and I wanted
you were
to
one
do,
of those
like,
kids. Me too.
Marine biology. And then in grade 11, I was like, actually, after I graduate, I'm going to go to New York, and I'm going to work in a cafe, and I'm just going to try and make it on Broadway. So it's like, there's no way that you can achieve all these things you set
it's,
for yourself.
It's and, all about this feeling of control. You want to feel like you're in control of your life.
Yeah.
Also, side note, I want to talk about this, like, cultural shift where just every kid wanted to be a marine biologist.
I don't even, like, know what marine biology was. I was just like, yeah, fish, oceans, that's awesome.
I never had that phase, and I think it's because I never went camping as a kid. I'm serious. Kendra and I went camping this summer, and it was my first time camping.
She did great.
I did surprisingly well. I'm a real city girl. But I went camping, and I remember very distinctly being awake at, like, 7 a.m., and Kendra was still asleep, but a few of our friends were, like, out and about and exploring, and I found them on the beach, and it was low tide, so I was, like, touching all these starfish and looking at all these sea cucumbers, and I was like, whoa, I, like, totally get why every kid wanted to be a marine biologist.
And I find myself looping back to it still sometimes. My friend just
what
thought...
What happened?
It's a cultural moment. I mean, oh, sorry. I know. Go Diego, go is a nice influence for me.
For marine biology?
When Mr. Diego, who was my first celebrity crush, talked to me about the whale shark.
Yeah.
That set those wheels in motion a little bit. I was like, oh, okay, whale sharks. Let's get into it.
I keep also thinking about how, like, people are like, oh, I'm shipping, like, Diego and Dora. People
they're
are
cousins.
Like, they're cousins. Oh my gosh, which, like, takes me, this is, like, a whole train of thought. This episode should just be labeled Kendra has ADHD and Nicole has, like, an insane train of thought that cannot be followed. Which takes me to this, like, to Bert and Ernie, follow me here. Mm-hmm. I was friends with someone, and he was like, look, I'm, like, all for this, like, LGBTQ+, including it in more media and making it more normalized. And he was like, but Bert and Ernie were just friends.
They're just roommates.
And I thought that was so funny.
That's really funny.
He was like, do not virtue signal with Sesame Street.
Well, I don't know. It was a different time. You know, you weren't allowed to stream certain things. I'm not ruling it out yet. Has Sesame Street made a statement on this?
Oh my gosh, they have it. Maybe that should be my first act before I go to journalism school. Is email Sesame Street and ask for an official statement.
This is what Big Sesame is holding out on.
Big Sesame. That's another thing I think about a lot is Big Pharma. Which my mother works at, she works for the Government of Canada in agriculture and trade. And I remember she was on a work call, and this was during COVID, since she was, like, they were talking about Big Pharma, and I walked by and was like, screw Big Pharma. And I did not realize her mic was on.
Oh, goodness.
Goodness gracious. But yeah, so Big Pharma. I think a lot about how our society is like incredibly over-medicated. But
oh, yeah.
It's neither here nor there.
And yeah, overpriced. That's a whole other thing we can go.
Wait, let's trace this back.
So that's we're ticking boxes. I do have one other thing I was thinking about ticking boxes though.
Okay. Was it about TikTok?
No. I'm thinking about what is satisfying when we're trying to set achievements. And when it's I had this really awesome opportunity this summer mm-hmm. to work for the Lab of Archaeology at UBC. You know, they actually, like, interview, like, no one for these positions. So I was super lucky.
Once again, this girl's smart.
It wasn't. I'm just charming. So I charmed my way in
and
there.
And she's a redhead.
Yeah, a visual. But then I found the most satisfying part about this summer was...
Yeah.
When my boss was then hiring for the next year, and they were reducing the position significantly,
mm-hmm.
they were going to rehire one of us, and they were going to hire an Indigenous student
yeah.
to take on to help with community event programming kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew my Indigenous friend had applied, and my boss didn't see it, and I was like, "You should hire this girl," and she did, and that like was the highlight of my summer work experience. Nothing is what
that,
I actually did.
Is that your bosses are super disorganized and require their undergraduate students to manage their applicants?
Oh, no. But you know, like, you build this trust, right, too?
Yeah.
And my boss is amazing. I, mm-hmm. like, stop by her office all the time. Or my boss was amazing. Ex-employee, but...
Oh, goodness.
It was...
Still yeah. a dear friend.
Yeah, yeah.
Dear colleague.
Dear colleague. But that, like, still... Just, like, her working there currently still yeah. fills me with such joy that
yeah.
like, isn't matched with any of the other experiences I had just through my own professional career.
I also think about what has been most satisfying in my life in the past year. It's been a real bumpy year for myself.
Mm-hmm.
for reasons I do not think I can legally disclose on air. but I think the most satisfying moments are results of the most suffering that I've gone through this year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had a really tough time leaving the team. And
yeah.
I think the moments where I could kind of see myself on the other side were the most satisfying.
Absolutely.
Where I was like, I'm literally seeing growth as it happens.
Well, there was, I got to go to my first, academic conference this year.
Yeah.
Which was very exciting. And it happened to be the same weekend of a big race that we would normally go to
mm-hmm.
on the team. And I found myself thinking about it, and, you know,
and you were in the same city.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy.
But, yeah, that for me was, like, actually, no, I'm, like, way happier to be at this conference and being able to network and talking with these, like, cool people than I would yeah. be if I was racing right now and
like,
freezing.
And it's all just perspective. Like, I'm sure if you went and raced this year, you would find it rewarding. But now you are doing something else, and that is what's important to you right now.
Yeah, and that's not to say that the racing isn't worthwhile. Yeah. I loved all my experiences on the team, to be honest. I had a really good time there. It's just like you refocus your goals.
Yeah.
And my goals were never the Olympics. So.
Were they never the Olympics?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make my uncle proud of me.
Aw, that's really sweet.
No, he told me when I was applying for universities
yeah.
that... I didn't have it in me to be a Thunderbird.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, yeah, so...
Was he a Thunderbird?
He was, yeah. Yeah, he...
Huh.
He was. His name's on the, by the right. bathrooms. But, sorry, bathrooms of the boathouse. There's some random stuff on
not,
there.
Not the yeah. UBC bathrooms.
UBC
That'd
bathrooms
be a little weird.
Graffiti. But, yeah, he told me I didn't have it in me, and then I shouldn't...
In, like, a joking way?
No, like, you know, he said it to my grandma, and I found out through my grandma that he had been like, if Kendra's gonna do this, she shouldn't go to UBC, because she's just, like, that's not the right place for her. And, that was a huge motivating factor.
Yeah,
anger
Spike's
well.
A great motivating
Spike's
factor.
Spike's huge. And it's almost hard to find, a reason to do things without Spike sometimes.
Yeah. No, that's super fair. That one of our friends, is like, given up a lot of life's simple pleasures to, like, do very well in school. And he's, I think, purely doing it because I said he couldn't. And he's doing it.
Wow.
He's doing it. And I think I owe him a beer now. but Spite is a great motivator. I think, when I think about what fuels me to, like, do things in life, that reminds me of my friend Isaac,
mm.
who, whenever I'd be upset about a boy, he'd be like, "Don't let the white man win."
That's fair. That's super
but
fair.
But on a more serious note, What really inspires me to do well in life? I think this is incredibly, this is going to be a very controversial take. I have found that the most fruitful way for me to motivate myself is to think I'm doing this for myself. Mm. I feel like a lot of my life has been feeling like I'm doing stuff for other people or to prove something to other people, but it's been when I've been like, okay, I'm doing this for myself, and this is something I want to do, and this is something that I will be most happy doing.
Yeah.
This is something that's going to serve me most. And not in, like, a selfish way, but, like, kind no, of, but like, in a good selfish way.
You have to prioritize yourself.
Yeah. Prioritizing yourself is a very important skill that I feel like I've only very recently started to figure out. And
yeah, I don't know if I have yet. It's hard.
I mean, I'm like, I wouldn't say I figured it out. I'd say I'm just now aware of it.
This is something I could be doing.
This is something I probably should be doing if I want to, like, live life in a fruitful way.
Yeah.
Anywho's it, we're going to go to ad break real quick, so sit tight while you listen to some cool ads.
CITR is powered by Guayaquil Yerba Mate. Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaquil Mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaquil is more than just a Yerba Mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of Yerba Mate. Visit guayaquil.com, GUAYAKI.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free Yerba Mate can.
Do you want to change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing health care, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
Hello. Welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, 24 hours of student power. And this episode is just me and my dear friend Kendra speaking. So Kendra and I often crisis text each other. It's like the hallmark of our friendship. And we give each other advice, and then we sit back and we think, why can't we follow our own advice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in a lot of aspects.
School,
romantic interests.
Just self.
Self, yeah.
Self-hatred.
Even just your own self-voice.
Yeah. And I was talking to my therapist more recently. I'm not going to name drop my therapist. I think he's fully booked. But that's not the reason why I shouldn't name drop him. My therapist was like, the reasons why we are so mean to ourselves versus why we are much more compassionate towards the other people in our life is because of our learned experiences about ourselves. So, like, no matter how wonderful your childhood was, I'm looking at you, I'm jealous of you, you will have some aspect of trauma growing up. And those traumatic events will make you subconsciously view yourself in a different light. If that kind of, I don't know if you're following what
I'm picking up.
Do you swallow?
Down.
Are you swallowing what I'm spitting?
Oh, I don't like that one.
Okay.
I'll pick it up. I'll wipe okay. it up with a tissue, maybe.
Okay. Anyways, so for example, I like see Kendra, and I'm like, look at this beautiful redhead angel. I love her. She deserves the world. And I'm like, Kendra, don't let this boy treat you like shit. But then I, like, look at myself, and I'm like, no, 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 he can treat you like shit. And I'm like, but why?
I'm different because I deserve to be treated like shit.
Yeah, and that's... Yeah, exactly. And that's just such, like, an interesting concept to me. As you mentioned this the other way, you were like, I was giving you advice about something, and you were like, this is, like, the exact same advice I give you. Why can't I follow my own advice? And it's because...
I took a screenshot of that moment, too, and I had that on my desktop to reference, so that because it just feels different.
Of the advice you gave to me?
Of the advice you gave me.
Oh, my goodness.
And being able to reference that, because it is, like, it's the exact same thing I would tell myself, yeah. But it doesn't sound like, you know, it's different hearing it from someone you trust's voice.
Yeah, it's different, because, and that's another thing we also talked about, is not trusting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like, been also such, like, a hallmark of growing up. Having this, like, inner voice and not really trusting what you know or what you believe or what the future holds. And that's really scary. And you turn to other people to kind of give you guidance along the way. And that's why friendship is so important.
And that's so, like, that's human, man.
It's human. It's so human.
We're creatures of habit, and we're community-based creatures, and we just need friends so much.
We really do. I, like, fall into these little spirals sometimes where I'm like, I'm just gonna cut off everyone in my life, and that lasts approximately 6 hours. Until I'm like,
wow,
every
time you're silent for a few hours, I'm gonna be reflecting on that statement.
I could also just be sleeping. It could be, like, 2 to 8 a.m. and be like, Nicole's going through it. No, I'm just sleeping. But it's just funny how we have these expectations for ourselves that we, like, completely would disregard in any other context. And then it's just all about self-compassion. It's all about being compassionate with yourself. And one thing I've been doing more recently is whenever I am being mean to myself, I'm like, if this exact same situation applied to Kendra, would I be saying the same thing? And I'm like, oh my gosh, absolutely not.
Yeah, definitely not.
And then I'm like, well, why are you treating yourself differently than you were treating your, like, Kendra? And I'm like, well, it's because Kendra is, like, a perfect angel person and she can do no wrong. And I'm like, well, no.
It's just simply not true.
She's human, just like me.
Yeah.
She's human, and I'm human too.
But it's almost, yeah, it's like not permitting ourselves to be human.
No, it's, like, holding yourself to this stupid standard that we need to, like, allow ourselves to, like, let our guard down. But then I get scared, and I'm like, but what if I let my guard down too much?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then what if I can, like, never strike that balance, and I'm just jumping between two extremes for the rest of my life?
And I see myself in, you know, new friendships every now and then. I also set standards for myself. And I'm like, well, you know, I have whatever issues, I just won't tell them. And then I set this goal for myself to not tell someone about these things that really affect who I am as a person, because I don't know, it'll make me more normal and more likable. But that's like, you're not even presenting yourself at that point. And obviously every time I've tried to do this, it's failed, because that's not human. Like, you have to share your experiences with people.
That makes me think of how people are like, everything you see on Instagram isn't real. Like, it's just a snapshot of your life. And I'm like, dear God, we've progressed to the point where, like, real life is not real life. Like, we're just presenting a portion of ourselves that we want other people to see.
And it's been like that forever. Like, social media is just a new aspect of that. I have a literature course I'm taking right now.
What literature?
Course are you in? It's Central Eastern Northern European Studies. 202. It's about negative emotions, and so we're reading a lot of, like, old books.
Mm-hmm.
And the one we just read is Hedda Gabler, and she is doing the exact same thing. She's just, like, not telling anyone about any of her thoughts. And there's also, we read another one, I think it's from Fontana, it's A Double Life, and she's doing the same thing. It's this little aristocratic society, but it's based on a real thing where you're you're not telling any of your unique thoughts, because you just gotta be in.
Man. And then you tell yourself, I'm just gonna write down all my thoughts and publish a really famous book and then die just as it becomes famous.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the dream.
Classic artist's way out.
Oh, man. Artiste.
But I think that part of it is the community aspect of it. We want to be accepted.
Yeah. And I think it's so funny how it's actually so backwards. The moments you are most accepted are actually where you're most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Isn't that meta?
Well, yeah, definitely when you feel the most accepted, but then it's also like...
But it's so vulnerable and it's so scary, because what if you are rejected? Because it happens.
And you're on an edge there, and sometimes it's just like, whoa, that was too much. Like, that was that was too much for me, and I didn't need that. And you're like, oh, damn it.
Like, how do you strike that balance?
It's hard.
I think one thing that's helped me in terms of being scared of tipping that balance is reminding myself that I don't need to be perfect all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That as long as I strive to do my best, that's like, you're good. You've fulfilled the quota.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're okay. Everything's good.
Yeah, well, and it's so hard. I was just texting Nicole the other day about an assignment I had done that I was so stressed about and I wanted to do so well on.
Yeah.
And I got an 83.
This was your presentation.
Yeah, and I got an 83, which is like a pretty good mark, and she's a pretty hard marker. But I got the mark and the first thing I said was like, well, like, or did I lose the 17% then? Like, how did I mess up? And I just was ripping myself apart for like how I lost these things. But it's like, no, like, this is good.
Yeah.
You should be happy for yourself. And if it was someone else who got it, you'd be like,
hey, dog, that's really good.
She never gives those grades. That's great.
Yeah. Man, that, like, reminds me of this, like, these goddamn first-year English classes. Why do they mark so hard?
First-year classes, in general.
They do.
So hard.
I'm trying to weed out the week, and I'm like, but I've already done the weeding out. Be nice to me.
Stop weeding me.
I'm in third year now. And that just reminds me of this assignment, this, like, in-class midterm that we did. And I, like, got my mark back, and I got, like, a B minus. And I was like, oh, man. And then I was like, whoa. Like, I got, like, one of the highest marks in the class. Not to, like, flex or anything, but I was like, I don't know. I think we just focused too much on what we did wrong versus what we did right.
Yeah. And then how, like, what is the step then? Like, to just being proud of yourself and happy for what you're accomplishing.
Yeah, I don't know. My good pal Rachel, she has a little book of affirmations where she writes about things she's proud of. And I think I should start doing that and start writing about things that I am proud of, because I can't rely on other people to, like, be like, I'm so proud of you for doing this thing. Like, you need to be able, because I say this so much, you are the only person that's going to live with yourself for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to, like, both hold yourself accountable and push yourself, but also be kind to yourself.
Yeah, you won't last long if you only survive on external motivation.
You won't last long. You'll be like a slug.
You will be a slug, yeah.
I don't think they last very long.
I don't really know the life expectancy of a slug, but...
Anyways, we're gonna go to one of my favorite songs. So the song is called Summer's Over, and it's a collaboration album by Jordana and TV Girl. And this song reminds me of a boy that recently broke my heart, and Kendra was very present for the duration of me getting over it. And then maybe we'll talk about that after.
Yeah.
We'll see. We will return.
Whispering your name.
Hi, we're back.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. So that was TV Girl and Jordana's Summer's Over, a very beautiful song. So I cried a lot to that song more recently about a boy that broke my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of my friends were not a big fan of this boy.
Not a big fan is sort of an understatement. We have a four-man support group chat based on the mild dislike for this point.
And that kind of brings us, this ties it all together. Follow my train of thought here. This boy did not treat me very well, and I just absolutely could not see it. I was just so in my own head, and I was like, but, like, these good things that he did, and this kind thing, and this wonderful thing. And Kendra was like, girl, no, he sucks. And Rachel was like, Nicole, this man sucks. And if this guy had said the same things to Kendra that he said to me, I'd be like, Kendra, what? Kendra, why are you putting up with this? And we accept the love we think we deserve.
Damn.
I don't know who said that, but it's so true. We seek out what we think we deserve, and I thought I deserved to be treated like that, and it just, it's not true. And I'm actively trying to break out of that, like, place where I seek out, I'm like, okay, well, this is, like, what I deserve, and instead I'm trying to look for, like, what, if this guy was dating my friend, mm-hmm. would I be happy about it?
That's, you know? Smart.
Yeah.
Definitely friends get insight.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really beautiful song, though. I think my favorite line from that song is, good to meet you, nice to know you. Oh. No, nice to meet you, good to know you. Yeah, it's backwards. Nice, no, wait, good to meet you. Yes, good to meet you, nice to know you.
I believe you.
I do, too. And that song really just, that line specifically really reminds me of, like, oh my gosh, this is like my English lit class where I'm analyzing everything, but it reminds me of this boy that I will not name drop because I know he listens to the station. But it just reminds me of like this, like it was really wonderful being with him, but there was something just a little bit backwards about it. Mm-hmm. Hence the words. I see your little ADHD tendencies staring at the cassettes on the wall, Kendra. Wow.
There's one with, like, a very unique name.
Oh, yeah, I know the one you're talking about. I've stared at that many a time. Yeah. No, it's okay.
Anyways,
anywho's it. There's a song that Kendra just suggested. It's called Raining in June by Olive Klug. Man, I thought, oh, no, it's Olivia Klugman. It's Olivia Klugman, not Olive Klug.
I think that's how she has her name on Spotify, is like Olivia Klug or something. She has Olive Klug on Spotify, so I guess
are they two different
legal
songs?
Name Olivia Klugman? No, I don't think so.
Okay, anyways, I actually also know this song, but I know this song because of a mutual friend.
Yeah.
But it's a really beautiful song, and we encourage you to listen to the lyrics as we play it. Really gorgeous song. Thank you.
she's scared of the winter, even though summer's taking her sweet time to start. It's her manipulative art, she's full of greed. She's such a tease with her neon blues and greens and sweaty palms. She tricks your heart into thinking that it's calm, but then the rain comes back like it always does. Every noon of every June, I used to sit beside my windowsill and stare up at the gray sky. She didn't even care that I had waited, calculated all the lakes that I would swim, and all the carnival games I'd win. If it would only clear up by then, I'd lift my chin. So I will try, I will wait patiently for July, or move to somewhere with a clearer sky. When I do, life will be yellow, I won't sink into the blue. So I tried, I couldn't wait patiently for July. So I moved to somewhere with a clearer sky. But when I did, I only missed the rain.
Hi, we're back. So I'm really hoping that we stay friends, Kendra.
Yeah, so too.
And I really hope that I get to see you achieve a lot of the goals that you have in the near future. I know that you've got a lot of really amazing opportunities that just keep falling at your feet. I'm kidding. You've worked very hard for them. And you, Kendra, is really good at networking. Sauter, watch out.
True.
Those anthropologists know what they're doing. What do you think is, like, a short-term goal that you have maybe to achieve by the end of this school year, and then like a longer-term goal?
Super hard. I mean, it's tricky because it's so hard to like gauge what are even like possibilities. So I guess just to make a vague goal for myself, I want to be happy with whatever job I'm doing this summer, because right now it's kind of up in the air, but there's some really cool opportunities, and I hope whatever I'm doing that I enjoy it, because it's a bit scary not knowing what you're going to do. I might go to Nanaimo, which is very frightening for me because
it's Nanaimo.
I don't have a support system in Nanaimo either.
You don't. I would come visit you. Good. But, like, not on a regular basis, because I do not like Nanaimo.
You know, that's valid, man. And then for life, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to be Dr. Leishman.
You'd like a PhD?
I'd like a PhD.
Or you'd like to go to med school?
I will not go to med school. But that's more an ego thing, because I would love to get married. Well, I don't really want to get married, but I'd love to have a ceremony where, you know, I'm like Mr. or Mrs. and Doctor.
Oh my gosh, I've never thought about that.
I think about that all the time.
I have also thought a lot about wanting a PhD, but it's also an ego thing. I just want to have the same amount of degrees as my father.
Dr. Young. You should get 2 PhDs despite him.
Man, he's like co-signed a Nobel Prize. I can't beat that. Actually, what's like just as, if not as impressive as a Nobel Prize? Maybe a Pulitzer?
Yeah.
A Pulitzer? What else? The Times Person of the Year.
Yeah.
I think I'll get there.
I've been thinking about the Forbes 30 under 30. How does that work? How do you get that? Would they take a biomolecular archaeologist?
What is 30 under 30?
It's just accomplished individuals.
So 30 people under 30?
Yeah.
Under 30. Well, I've got, like, what, 11 years to do that? 10, really.
Isn't your birthday, like, this month? Yeah.
Yeah, it's in, like, a week. So I've got, like, a year and a few days. Yeah. Or 10 years and a few days. I'm gonna do it.
No worries.
Screw you, Dad. I think my short-term goals are try to feel less of a sense of control over my degree, my undergrad specifically. I think obviously I need to declare my major. it's been a trip.
Do you have a declared major, or are you just shifting around courses right now? I'm not really sure.
I've been declared in two.
Okay.
And then I was like on track for English, and now I'm like, ah, veer.
It's okay. You just got your what are they called? Your outside.
My outside credits. Yeah, I was like looking at that today, and it was like you need a minimum of like 8 courses, and I had like 24 for my outside credits, and I was like, ah, crap, don't need to do any more of those.
So the way.
But I think I need to like let go of that part of myself that needs to feel control over everything. Like in high school, I had the 5-year plan, you know, and now I'm in university, and I've got like a 12-year plan, and I'm like, girl, let it go.
Well, and I saw a video this week that stuck with me a little bit. Was this old dude talking about like your 20s, like you don't need to have your stuff sorted out.
No, you don't.
Like worry about that when you get into your 30s.
Yeah.
20s are for figuring out what the hell you want to do, because you know it's only the rest of your life. You're stuck. Yeah, with whatever you choose,
I think it's so crazy how you have to go to university at like 18.
Yeah.
And know what you're doing. I mean, you don't. You can go work. But
in Germany, they like get you on track to do whatever you're gonna do like super young. You do this test and they choose your school. You go into like high school based off of that.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
Kendra's also German. I thought that would be important to know.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
I am not German. Anyways, long-term goals. I've thought about this a lot, and I think this is a little, this is my long-term goal. I'm going to get over this whole seasonal depression thing through sheer determination.
I think maybe you need a more realistic goal.
And I say that half joking, half not. As in, I do think that, you know, seasonal depression is not really something you can, like, get over through sheer determination and force. But I'd like to have at least 1 year in my life where the symptoms are severely mitigated. Like, maybe one semester I'll, like, go to, like, I don't know.
Travel.
Yeah, maybe I'll go to, like, Oregon or something.
There's so many.
Oregon's not a good place to go.
Why not?
Cali.
Cali, yeah. And then when you get into grad school, you can, if you do plan to do a PhD, so there's some places you can get, like, okay money. They treat it like a job in Europe.
Yeah.
So, you know, go do something in Spain or something. That would be crazy.
I was, like, I saw this, like, TikTok the other day of this woman ranking how safe she felt walking at night in different cities while she was in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Barcelona was, like, dead last.
Okay.
So, anyways, on a separate note, I really want to see you achieve these goals. And I know we're not very touchy-feely people, and I can't believe we're doing this on air, but I want to see you achieve... No. Oh, my God. I want to see you achieve great things.
Yeah, you too, man.
That's another thing I've thought about a lot. I want to have a wedding, but I don't really want to get married. And I just realized I want it to have a big, fancy party. I should become a socialite.
I would love to have you as my socialite.
I would love to be a socialite. Are you kidding me? I was like born. I'm a city girl. I was born to be a New York socialite and host parties.
I was born in Calgary, Alberta.
Forget about that all the time.
I'm happy anywhere. I don't know. I don't think I could survive in the city too long. I think I need a little more solitaire.
A little solitude?
Yeah, solitaire, though. It's like, that's the way they talk about it in that one Marina Diamandis song. So random.
We're going to go to PSA, and then we'll come back with our little philosophical question of the day. Toodles!
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, Find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
By the way, this is somebody's favorite show! Hi, Dan Shakespeare here. You know, for most of the stuff that I play, you probably think that I'm much older, but you know what? Most of you are probably way off, because I'm only 23 years old. Tune in to The Shakespeare Show between noon and 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's songs from before the 1920s to alternative stuff today, plus jokes and riddles, all sorts of fun stuff. Just put any of it on your iTunes if you need to. Pretty soon it'll be coming out on albums.
Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Nicole and Kendra, who are really good friends, and we're just talking like we normally do, but this time on air. So my last little question for you today, Kendra, is a philosophical question, because I think I'm going to be a philosophy major. So this has been something I've been thinking about a lot. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Do you think your life would be better as a mini poodle?
Okay, I received a text along these lines from Nicole the other day.
I think about it a lot.
And the answer for me is no. I don't think in any life I would be happier as a dog, because I really appreciate my agency. Even if I'm making a terrible choice, I like that it's mine to make.
But you can do that as a dog.
Well,
you can, like, jump into a muddy puddle and understand that it's not a good choice and you're going to be cold and wet and dirty.
Yeah.
But it's still your choice.
Yeah, but I don't decide when I go on a walk.
That's true. I think I've asked a bunch of my friends this question. It's also my go-to opening line for dating apps. I surprisingly have not been unmatched yet for asking that. But my friend, my dear friend Dan, was like, I don't think a life of pampering would be very stimulating.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
But you know what? I think I'd love to live a life in blissful ignorance as a gray mini poodle.
I feel like maybe you'd enjoy it for a week.
But you have to remember that you'd be a mini poodle without any recollection of what it was like to be a human.
What?
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
No, that's heartbreaking. Nicole, you wouldn't know what it's like to go throw a slab of clay onto a spinning circle.
That's right, guys. I do pottery.
She's very good at it.
Thank you.
But I think, I don't know, if you're really just forgetting the rest of life, it doesn't really matter. It's that same, like...
You
could be a beetle.
You'd be a shiny green beetle.
What animal would you want to be? You want to be a mini poodle?
I want to be a gray mini poodle. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I met a gray mini poodle at a park when I was working over the summer. I'd be at that park twice a week, and I'd see this mini poodle every time I was there. And his name was Charlie. And his owner was an older man who talked a lot about 5G and, and radiation.
It's bad for us.
But his little poodle, Charlie, was the cutest, and he would, like, cry and whine, and I'd be like, does he always cry and whine like that? And his owner would be like, that's just how he talks to you. Mm. And I thought about that, because I cry and whine a lot.
I think if I...
I want to be appreciated for crying and whining.
I think I'd rather be regenerated as a very rich white man, just to see what it's like.
I, like, heard my friend, I told this to Kendra, but I think the world needs to hear it, or whoever's listening right now. My friend was like, if I could choose to be anything in the world, I'd choose to be, like, a gay man. Just they experience so much joy. And I was like, you don't need to be a gay man to experience joy. That was just such an interesting little take that I heard.
Little brain.
I wonder if I can structure my major around asking questions like that. Do you think UBC would let me graduate?
I might have to go back into psych a little bit.
Into psych?
Yeah. My go-to question for dating apps is, what is the largest animal you think you could take? It's very revealing.
That really is.
Yeah, no weapons, all by yourself. And some people are like, tiger. I'm like, well, no. That's simply not true.
I think I could, I don't even think I could take on a squirrel.
You could take on a squirrel.
I really couldn't. Those things are rabid.
You could take on a mini poodle.
I don't know. As an owner of a Pomeranian Chihuahua, I don't know. My dog is rabid.
Fair enough.
What's the biggest animal you think you could take on?
I see people take on cougars sometimes, and I think I could take a small cougar.
I think I could, like, do those cartoon fights with the kangaroos.
No way. Someone did respond saying they could fight a kangaroo if they're angry enough. And if they're angry enough, they could fight two kangaroos. And I said, I didn't respond because in my head I was like, there's no freaking way. Have you seen that super jacked kangaroo?
Yeah.
There's no way. No one is fighting that guy.
I think I could take on a fish.
Well, it depends on the fish, man. Some of these, like,
I could take on an angelfish.
Huge. Oh, yeah.
I could take on an angelfish. I think I could take on an otter.
So cute.
They are. You remember that otter in Vancouver? I guess you weren't living here yet, but like 4 years ago, this otter was just chilling in the like Sun Yat Sun Gardens eating the koi fish, and then people got really mad, and then the otter was just like crossing the street, the like sidewalks of, or the street walks of downtown Vancouver. People were like, yo, where'd this otter come from?
Wow. I know, I didn't know this story, but I'm glad I do.
Vancouver is weird today. Anyways, thanks for tuning in to CITR 101.9 FM. This was Kendra and Nicole's hour of good times. I hope you have a good rest of your day. Toodles.
Is this
CITR 101.9 FM?